There we go.
We're back.
Buttons are working.
Buttons are working.
Dun, 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 dun. I always have the James Bond theme song in my head.
Just like on repeat? It is
at least 10 times a day.
Wait, what's the James Bond theme song? Because I'm thinking... Dun, 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 oh, dun, I was thinking of Pink Panther.
Oh, that's... That's Dave Brubeck. Dave Brubeck. Yeah, I think it's called Take Five.
You would know that.
That is the name of that because I used to watch the hell out of Pink Panther.
I did too. It was a good show. James Bond. I couldn't sing that one. Or hum it.
I think I've read almost all the James Bond books. I'm trying to think. There's only a couple. I just started rereading Casino Royale.
I'm going to make a really dumb confession right now. I did not know that that series was based on books. Did not know that. I learn something new every day.
I think that's fine though. Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. I think that's fine.
Amazing. So we're back. Episode 3. Trauma's the New Black.
Yeah, it is a third. I'm sorry. I legit had to go,
wait,
what?
You're like, wait, is it two? But wait, I feel like I have to say something about our title, So We Healin', question mark. I feel like the question mark is a really important part of why we're doing this that I don't think we talked about. It's there intentionally because I know we wanted to acknowledge that we don't actually have all the answers.
Yeah.
And then it's a practice.
Yes. I would also say it's our journey.
It's our journey.
We're not telling nobody, like, look, we're just saying what we're doing. Yes. And you just happen to listen. We ain't telling you to go do it.
We appreciate you listening.
Yeah.
Please don't take any of our advice. Talk to your mental health professionals.
Yes.
You know, you want to really dig into.
Go ask them questions.
More. Yes.
To get more clarity or, I don't know, just like a thought partner.
Yeah.
I think everyone should have a thought partner.
Yeah. There will be an upcoming episode about I call it my Rolodex of healers.
Mine drugs. These are prescriptions, but.
Anyway, so I think our title today is a little provocative, but it's not meant to be.
Trauma.
Yeah.
Trauma, 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 trauma. I don't think I heard the word trauma like legitimately outside of that didn't just mean like physically until a few years ago.
Very recently. Well, it's become, it's tongue in cheek, our title, Trauma is the New Black, because it kind of exploded
in
culture over the last few years. And now everything seems to be
dramatic. I'm like, no, it can't. I was talking to someone last year. I vividly remember this saying, like, everything can't be trauma.
Yeah, it's not. You know, I think for a while I probably was in that camp of like, oh my God, so much trauma. And I've definitely had some trauma, like legitimate trauma. But I think my take on this is that people are in pain. And we've come to a place, I think, where we just brush off pain as being something we need to get over or be resilient or be strong and just get over it. And we talked about this a little. That's just how things are.
Yeah, that shit is annoying as hell.
And trauma, I feel like, gave us permission to acknowledge and address or at least speak on our pain. I feel like that's why people latched onto it, because we're all just looking for a way to like release some of our hurt.
Yes.
And it gave an outlet that. For that. It doesn't mean it's correct in terms of what trauma actually is, but I feel like that's the reason why.
Let me think. Okay, what does it say? This is Psychology Today. What is trauma? Trauma is a person's emotional response to a distressing experience.
Yes.
Few people can go through life without encountering some kind of trauma.
Yeah.
Unlike ordinary hardships, traumatic events tend to be sudden and unpredictable, involve a serious threat to life, like bodily injury or death, and feel beyond a person's control.
Yeah.
Most important, events are traumatic to the degree that they undermine a person's sense of safety in the world and create a sense that catastrophe could strike at any time.
Ooh, wait, sorry. Is there more to that? Because I'm going to need you to repeat that specific line.
Yeah, I was just reading this and I'm like, wow.
I really want you to read it again, though.
Most important, events are traumatic to the degree that they undermine a person's sense of safety in the world and create a sense that catastrophe could strike at any time. And parental loss in childhood, auto accidents, physical violence, sexual assault, military combat experiences, the unexpected loss of a loved one are commonly traumatic events. That, like, oh my God.
Yes. That's so real. That idea of safety, I think, is an important one in that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, jarred for a person.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced at least a couple of the things on that list you rattled off, and all before the age of, you know, 10, I think.
Oh, shit.
And it's fascinating because, you know, and then I've also heard people reference things like being bullied as a kid as being traumatic.
Yeah.
I think what's also important about trauma is we don't get to judge what's traumatic for other people and what isn't, right? So, like, my sense of safety was impacted by a lot of the things that I experienced before the age of 10 and, you know, made me put a lot of walls up and whatever. And that's actually what matters.
Yeah.
That I no longer felt safe in certain situations. It doesn't matter what the thing was that triggered that reaction.
Yeah, my sense of safety is gone.
It's gone.
I mean, look, it makes sense because it's a thing to where I always, I don't say always, I'm doing everything in my power to continue to be as impeccable with the words that I use. I think I would consistently get really, really annoyed when I hear safe space.
Oh, say more.
I very rarely believe in that.
Oh, you've told, okay, yes, you should explain this to the listeners.
Okay, on one hand, I see it, or just one thing is, okay, so was it, I think safety is an illusion. Mm-hmm. And let me figure out a way that just doesn't work in my head. The idea of safety is just like, I'm first just thinking just physically, like nothing's going to happen to me. And this could be like way too literal or meta thinking. Like something can happen at any point in time. Like if I'm at the crib, earthquake, I don't know, stub my toe. So like that idea has never been a thing. I'll say never. It's rarely been a thing that I've necessarily felt. To me, what I would equate safety to is more of this, the like dampening of all the like stimuli and thoughts that I have. So it just drops all that down.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's like, okay, I can kind of be like safety, but I've never felt that the way I view that is the same as other people view safety. So that's why when I hear safe space, I think of just my lived experience, or mm-hmm. I even think of if I'm in this room or in this environment with a group of people and we're all being open, vulnerable, and whatever other magical words, then I've seen people say things and it'd be them being courageous and just mm-hmm. open and vulnerable. And then I've seen backlash come from that. So I'm like, how is this a safe space if there's still consequences to like something I could say or do? So I've done my best. Like, I don't presume to know what safe feels like to anyone. I will say when I'm in those environments is I hope this is like a courageous and brave space
mm-hmm.
and a supportive space.
Yep.
Because I think, yeah, that like safety is just not a thing that I don't know. I feel like I can count the number of times where I've actually felt safe.
Interesting. I mean, when I hear you say that, I hear a few things. One is that you take safety as a personal responsibility. Like you are responsible for feeling safe inside.
Yes, to right? a certain extent.
Yeah.
I don't know what the extent
because the
is.
Environment outside you can't control.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's one of the few times I think I've like willingly and consciously been okay saying like, oh, I give up on that. Like I give up on attempting to deal with how the external inputs are.
Oh,
I just
gotta
like really, really focus on
what you can do.
Yeah, like what I would do. So mm-hmm. I think it's the thing that I think in like therapy, thinking a therapist say like, oh, working, focusing on what you control. That was a thing that kind of just subconsciously happened that like I wasn't taught that. It was something that I figured out like, oh, wait, you know what?
Right.
Let me just do this because
perhaps because you were in so many externally unsafe environments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had like six things popping through my head right now. I'm like, yeah.
I actually really love that because I equate that to the same, like when I think about freedom, I often say, well, more specifically after the Roe v. Wade thing happened last summer and my rights were taken away from me in certain parts of this country, I realized there's no corner of this world where a woman of color can go and feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, and that ties back to our patriarchy episode and all that. But my therapist, who love her, so many truth bombs that she delivers me on a regular basis. When I told her that, she was like, well, except inside you. As in, the only place I will ever really feel free is within. And I was like, well, damn.
Yeah, I'm like, that's too deep for me.
Okay. I think it's actually the exact same thing that you're saying, which is I can control my response to the external world and find freedom within and find safety within by learning how to self-soothe, by learning how to use the tools to reshift narratives in my head that might be making me feel afraid. Now, I think at the same time, on the other side of this coin, I'm going to offer that I think this also connects back to our attachment conversation, where there is a way that people I care about can show up if they care enough to, that helps me feel safe.
That definitely sticks with me. And I would say definitely the last, I don't, 3-4 months.
Yeah.
It's a thing that's been in my mind a great deal in that sense of, I don't know. I definitely felt some anger. I was talking to my therapist and she said something.
Shout out to both our therapists.
Look at, yes. My girl Trace, woo, she be getting me right. She will hit me with a bomb. I'm like, wow. And I appreciate that it's not some like, you got to figure it out yourself. She's like, look, let me just tell you this.
Let me give it to you straight.
I'm like, thank you. This is what I need, girl. Yeah. We definitely had like this disagreement in the sense that I don't remember exactly what it was. I told her that happened and she's like, well, that can only like affect you or like as much as you allow it to. And I was just like, hell, like, no, like at some point. And I remember saying it to her and she gave me some like great resources. I was like, look, at some point I can do all the work. I can be out here like looking at everybody. Oh, you just projecting on me, not letting anything really get to me in that sense. Like, but I still have to operate in a society in which does not promote any of this, that is full of projection and catastrophizing and not seeing each other as human or as someone enough to like communicate with. So I'm like, so at some point I can't just, because I am a part of a community, I'm a part of a collective.
Yes.
And that's the thing with thinking about trauma that has been by far the most challenging for me, is that that aspect of like, I can be doing all this stuff, but if I'm in a relationship and this person isn't acknowledging any of theirs, and they're not doing any of that work, like, this shit's going to affect me.
That's right. So that's right.
That's the part that I will say I felt, I think like the last like 2 weeks, I've definitely felt angry.
Good. I keep telling you, you should feel like, you should feel your feelings. And that's the thing. It's like, you have to actually find safe places to feel that, because I've been recently through a situation where I thought I had a bunch of friends around me and I thought that it was a safe community. Mm-hmm. And when they saw my anger at a situation that happened, they abandoned me. And it was the biggest lesson for me in understanding how important it is to know where my safe spaces were to express certain feelings. Mm-hmm. Because not everyone is prepared to handle our human range of emotions. And this goes back to the idea that like, we're all walking around with pain, but we've been taught to suppress it.
Yep.
And the people I think who are a friend of mine, this amazing, incredible artist by the name of George Morton, there's an HBO documentary out about him right now, posted something today on Instagram. And he and I talk about like dark and light a lot and the balance of it all and whatever. But he said, one doesn't become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. And that's a Carl Jung quote. So
I was like, that's it. Yeah. I was like, that sounds mad for me.
Yeah. You're like, damn, he said that. No, he just posted the quote by Carl Jung.
Mad dope.
But I think what it's saying is that there are some of us who are willing to face the pain and the darkness to hopefully get to the other side.
See,
where
the,
it's light.
The
or to be able to live with both.
The geek nerd comic lover in me just immediately makes me think of Batman.
Yes. I mean, all of the superheroes and like they're all archetypes of dark and light, right?
Yeah, extremely. I don't remember the exact quote, but there's essentially like this one thing that happens. Batman's facing someone and he goes, "You looked into the abyss, and when the abyss looked at you, you blinked."
Ooh.
And I was just like, yo, I remember that was like the hardest thing I ever heard.
Wow.
And I was like, yo, he just said you ain't shit.
You blinked.
He's like, I stared
I've
at
I blinked man. A lot, though. I can't lie. There's been a lot of,
it's
I look
hard.
At it, but I blink a lot.
It's hard. Like,
but that's where like our relationships help us.
Yeah. And it's just a fascinating thing. Like, I was mad. I was hella young when I heard that. So I'm like, I don't really know per
what
se what that
really
was
talking about.
But the visual of it, of, here was this person who's been through this like insanely traumatic thing. Yeah. And your parents die and then has created this entire like identity that's like, I'm going to beat that thing every time.
Yeah.
And but it was enough for me to look and go like, oh, okay. Like, oh, I know Abyss. Okay, that's probably something darker.
Yeah.
Something like that. And he is light. He's representing that. So it was a thing that I like picked up on and I definitely have always used characters as ways to understand like pain and trauma for me.
You know, I think that's why I watched so much TV growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the trauma that I had experienced or that, was around me. Television was the teacher of how to deal with emotions. And Bollywood films, which is, I think, why sometimes my emotional reactions are so dramatic. If you've ever seen a Bollywood film, they're very dramatic. And I, you know, I can be a little melodramatic when I really get into it. But you also, I just want to make one comment because you said something earlier about like the very real world. I do want to acknowledge that as much as freedom lies within, I just want to double tap the idea that the world is still very unsafe for a lot of us.
Yeah.
And no matter how much safety we find inside, there's still there's some real shit. Like, I'm a woman, you're a black man, there's some real shit out there.
In the words of homies I know, they're like, everybody can get touched.
Everybody can get, oh my God. Yeah, I'll save what I was just about to say for another time. But
it's that thinking like, okay, you use television. To me, like, I love reading.
Like, I did that too, yeah.
I would just get lost in things.
Stories.
And then most of the time, I would be making up my own story while I'm reading the thing. It would turn into like, oh, I just need you to give me a setting because I haven't developed the skill enough to like do that on my own.
Were you doing like a choose your own adventure in your own head, like, even though the book wasn't?
I would read the whole thing and then be like, okay, I'm going to read it again. But like, no, I'm going to make this person do this. Like this
I
person's doing this. And it would just become a whole thing. And I see a lot of it as understanding, like having a better understanding now that like maybe everything isn't traumatic, maybe everything can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of the stuff I've experienced has, and definitely in a short window, I would say like the last quarter of last year until like now, what we're 2 months into 2023, I think it's the best I've ever like handled challenging times.
Fist bump. Nice job.
The thing is to where I remember I kept thinking of like how abrupt I felt like this breakup I had was. It's like, was that traumatic for me? And it's been a thing to like try and like wrap my mind around.
Mm.
And I know talking to another friend, they're like, man, I'm glad you kind of seem like you're angry now. And I'm just like, yes, I'm fucking angry, but I don't want to be.
Yeah.
And my reason for not wanting to be angry isn't just like, oh, I don't want to be angry, because I want to make sure I feel everything.
Yeah.
I think it's a tool in and of itself.
For sure.
Because of the trauma and pain that I've experienced, I am extremely aware, and I will say like a bit afraid of being angry. Mm-hmm. Because I know when I get angry, that like I haven't had the best regulator or governor on handling it, on letting it out. So right now it's a lot of push-ups, jump rope, and I've been going, I'll hit like a heavy bag, but still even then, I'm
it's the breakup
like,
comeback. It's the breakup glow up.
It just becomes a thing to where it, and I know my mind, someone has ADHD and being autistic, I hyperfixate.
Yeah.
So like when I lock in on something, it's always a thing. It takes some time or it's a Herculean effort to get to the point to where I'm focused.
Yeah.
But once I'm focused, it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like I scare myself because then I'm like, oh wait, it's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Oops, I didn't see that. So that's been my biggest thing with feeling anger.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm like, oh no, 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 no. Like I'm not good at not feeling angry.
Yeah.
Because like when I'm there, I'm in it. And then it becomes a thing to where I start pulling from other things that were painful.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want these things to get like mixed up.
Yeah.
And
but you're aware of it this time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that I handled it the best. There was a lot of pain that was cracked open for me, and I fear my sadness the way that you fear your anger, because I go to very dark places when I'm sad and hurt. And I was definitely there the last few months, multiple times. It was the first time I ever had a therapist be like, why don't you take my cell phone number and text me?
Hey, shout out to them.
Right?
Like, we go
She's
look
the
out.
Best. But I think, and what I kept trying to tell myself throughout it all was, Seema, you're equipped differently this time to let yourself feel this and to have all the thoughts and to let them pass through. And, you know, I'm sitting here on a good day telling you this story.
Yeah.
So it's easy to talk like this, but like on the hardest days, it's still... I don't know sometimes, like I don't know if I'm doing it better than I did the last time I was in this dark of a place. I don't know. I think so because I'm sitting here talking to you about it on a show that a lot of my loved ones will listen to. And I'm going to be like, damn, why did I say that on a podcast? But yeah, I think, I don't know. I mean, I guess the most I can ask for is that I'm aware of it and that I think also this time I let people in. And by people, I mean my therapist and probably you and maybe one other person.
That's good. I, man, that makes me happy to hear. Like, it's just a thing. I'm just glad that you feel that way. As much as I have said in the previous episodes, how like thinking like, don't do this thing. I think the greatest gift I've been so far able to keep in my mind is to not compare.
Yeah.
And that has helped me.
Not even to yourself.
Yeah. I'm like, nah, I think comparisons are so stupid. They annoy me deeply because I'm like, none of the criteria is the same.
And very few things are actually linear.
Yeah. I'm like, just so recognizing that in my self is just like, yo, you 3 months ago didn't know a bunch of stuff about yourself.
Yeah.
Like you 6 months ago didn't know these things about yourself or the person you're with. Like they're just so many things that you're like, yo. So that's been a thing that's been just like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. It's just, I think it's the masking part that's challenging.
Yeah. Talk about that a little.
Think about living in a society that like shame. Shame is a thing that I am so weirdly not understood.
Right. I laugh because it's on brand for V.
I'm like, but, I don't get. So my parents were very, very, and I think anyone who's definitely like helped raise me, there's a very clear thing of like, if you do something, you own it. That's that. Like, yeah, good or bad, ugly, whatever you want to use, you own it. You don't like cower or anything behind that. Like, if you do a thing, you do it because you wanted to do it. And whatever the outcome is, you need to just be there to do that.
Wow.
And take it. And have a little mind that stuck with me. And so it's always been really, really challenging for me to be at work or in conversations or to like say something and then have people like, oh, wow, like you have no shame. I'm like, what? Like, why should I be ashamed of this shit? Like, I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, because I didn't go along with these like neurotypical social norms, I'm supposed to be like, oh God, no.
Yeah.
Like, nah, this is what I wanted to do. And that's something that I think this just creates so much pain. And I know for me, it's made me then have to like act like it and like mask and act like I'm nervous to say this thing to someone or ask this question, because I've just seen enough people do it and then they make it like a big deal. And because I've dealt with the other side of that, I always, someone asked me like, what are the most common words you think you've been called? I'm like, weird, crazy, eccentric, or like different.
Yep.
I'm like, those are just through lines. I can look through too many text messages and just search the word and just see threads of like, oh yeah, you know, because he's weird or something like that.
Yeah.
So seeing that so much, I'm like, okay, let me do this, because this is just a lot easier than having to constantly explain to someone the logic behind why I don't feel ashamed for this thing.
Right.
And I think my previous partner, one of the few times we talked, it was like, I felt ashamed because I didn't realize like these things about myself. And at the moment, I think I felt it, but I then now like realizing a little bit afterwards, like, nah, I just didn't know. And it just wasn't at that time that like I was somehow figuring it out or anything like that. Like,
yeah.
No, like, so shame to me is just very much an external societal thing that people just then put on another person.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think it's rooted in expectations and largely like what is talked about and what isn't, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that like Me Too, for example, I think gave women space to speak about things that normally we were ashamed to share, right?
Which is,
because
wow.
Like, oh my God, I was violated.
Oh, this other
and because,
person.
Well, yeah, so that's like, the thing is the societal narrative is I did something to invite that in.
Again,
that historically
thing,
has been the narrative culturally, right? And so when it happens, we are trained to believe that it's our fault.
That
and so we, of course, feel shame because you're like, it felt horrible. That was the worst thing that could ever happen to me and da-da-da. And so, you know, the beautiful thing about Me Too, and I know that good and bad to everything, pros and cons. I know a lot of men and women who disagree with how Me Too kind of happened. And my response to them is always, you know, it gave us space to talk about things that no one ever listened to when we tried to speak about it privately.
And knew.
Or we just didn't speak about it at all. I was shocked.
Yeah.
I remember being blown away by my social media feed at how many of the people that I followed and women I knew were sharing their stories or just saying Me Too and not even sharing their stories, but just acknowledging that it happened to them.
I'm
because
like, I
always thought it was just me.
Yeah. And like, I think that's how evil continues to thrive, when it's just like, oh,
yeah.
Like, nah.
Yeah. And so that's the, like, I think whether it's, you know, Me Too or whatever it is, it's like, that's the pain that we hold on to and we don't talk about and share.
And it just fucks up all the relationships.
It fucks up relationships and it fucks with our bodies. Like, one of my favorite books is Body Keeps the Score. And there's a lot of others. There's a really great one. I think it's called My Grandmother's Hands, that talks about generational trauma that's passed down in our bodies. But yeah, I mean, I've seen it in people I love deeply. I will try not to be too specific, but you know, I've seen women who lose their voices after a lifetime of being in abusive relationships. Mm-hmm. I've seen men with back problems because of the stress or the shame that they carry about certain things. There was a shaman once that told a friend of mine that his back problems were due to not enough self-love.
I mean, shit. Because, like, I was like, if you just out here just working yourself to the bone because you're like, oh, I gotta make money or things like that. Like,
Or you're holding on to some shit that you're just ashamed of or you're
like,
afraid
trauma.
Of or whatever.
Like,
it's
pain. You put your body through all this pain. And I'm just like really just thinking really hard is the idea that people are just going through these things every damn day.
Yeah.
I speak better just more to myself. It's just every day there's something. And it is a pretty amazing thing to get the awareness of like how to look at a thing to just shift the perspective just like a little bit, mm-hmm. and how that changes the entire way of looking at something. Mm-hmm. I just keep thinking about seeing how pain became too much of a fuel for me.
Oh, interesting. This is a new sort of a realization.
Yeah.
You've been doing this work.
It was weird because I felt like it was a thing that like the biggest energy source I can pull from. Mm. I guess maybe our brains are more like naturally programmed to like look at something negatively or something like that.
Fight or flight instincts. Or yeah. Survival instincts.
So not really like having that understanding for the majority of my life. And not having the tools to be like, oh, let me shift my perspective instead of looking at it like this, like look at it like this. I was writing something and yeah, I was definitely feeling pretty angry. And I just grabbed a pen and I just started just writing, like it was just gibberish. It wasn't even words. It was just like me just swirling the pen because I always think that's like a great way. If it's not like a paintbrush or a marker, like it's a good way to get energy out. And I started writing the word pain. And I just like kept writing it. And I was like, why the fuck am I writing this? And it made me stop and go like, wait, what the hell? And then I just started thinking about it the entire day. And it wasn't even like ruminating thoughts. It wasn't even negative. I was just like, wait, what is that? And I just started realizing like, that's the thing that I've always pulled from. Like, that is the thing I've always constantly gone to.
The pain?
Yeah. To be like, nah, you're going to just use this to... Even if it's like, oh, you go prove somebody wrong. Mm. Someone had asked me for like a project they're doing. They ran like a Medium article, I think I have. And they asked me like, hey, I'm doing this thing where I'm asking people like, what is it? Not just like write a letter to your younger self, like write a letter to yourself. It's not your younger self. It's like just write a letter to yourself. They're like, they just left the prompt like really open like that. And then I think the second one was like write one to yourself at a time where you think if you had that info it would drastically change your life. And
wow,
I started doing it and I remember looking at it and it was just like, you're going to experience a lot of pain. Mm. And I was like, wait, do I need to tell myself that? I know this. And it was just like, wait, why do I need to pull from that? How come I can't like pull from all the love that I have or things like that? And I think of the stories that I would then look to for people like Kobe, Mamba mentality. It's like, fuck everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do everything. I'm no pain can hurt. Like, I'm going to take all this pain. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, I don't think that's the strongest thing that I should be pulling from. Like, I should be pulling from another source that makes me feel something better. And that's been like a thing that's just been sticking with me hard because I start thinking like that pain presently affects me so much. I'm like, I don't want that. Like, I'm okay with having those moments. If I think about my previous partner, like, it's not as like immediately like, oh shit. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then I also will tell him like, yo, stop with that. Look at this thing.
Yeah. Like the whole of who they are.
Yeah. It's like having this awareness to one, feel that pain, but also remember that like there's so much more to this.
Yeah.
And that like they have a thing that they may need to work on or address or like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a level of compassion that's come and it came from seeing how like my pain presently affects me. Yeah. Like, I know right now I do not like being around people that much.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so hard for me to be around people.
Same, yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like, and I keep trying to find, is it just like specific people? If it's a certain number of people or what? And I'm like, it's just, I just don't want to be around people, y'all, because it's turned into like, I don't want no more drama. Like, I don't want any more.
Oh, interesting. So you're protecting yourself from feeling more pain.
And that's the interesting thing towards like, I don't know if it's protection or not, because I get tired of like hearing people be like, oh, you minding, you protecting your peace. Or I'm like, I don't think isolation is necessarily peace. I think there's a fine line between like, yeah, I think, yeah, do your thing and have time to yourself. But I am very aware that I'm probably more on the just like isolating and pulling myself away from society.
Right. Which is protection, I think, is it's okay. I think we're all animals at the end of the day. And, yes. you know, when we, it's like little Miles here today, when she got scared seeing you at the door,
oh, damn.
Clawed into me, even though she knows I'm her mama and she loves me. But she was scared and yeah. she did what she had to do to protect herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So I don't think it's necessarily good or bad. It's just kind of is.
Yes.
And I think you and I both have been like, okay, cool. We can have this like era.
I'm like, look, y'all.
However many months it's going to last.
I'm good.
But like, I think you and I both have acknowledged that we have to keep one eye on the joy, or at least looking for the joys, so that we don't stay in this place, because we do recognize that connection is important.
It is. I'm just like, look, if I figure out a way to just be like living off the land somewhere, and just I'm like,
no,
this wizard be gone.
We say like, that people like you and I say that, but I, you know, as someone reminded me last night, whether I believe it or not, and I think you are the exact same way, we build community wherever we go. And it might not be one big cohesive community, but we definitely have webs of people that we create and build around us. And
yeah. So, I'm really interested to see how to like foster that like level of closeness more. Because even like what I think it was last Friday going out. It's not hard for me to interact with people in the sense of like, oh, yo, like
you make friends walking down the street with your dog.
Yeah. I'm like, yo, we good. The challenge is like that maintaining or connective like arc that happens.
Yes. Actually building something long lasting.
Yeah. And for me, it comes from the place of like not feeling accepted. So then it becomes this thing to where I'm like, yo, I am not about to like try and do this thing or that thing. Like it just gets exhausting having to explain my thought process.
Yeah.
Or even if not even being asked. It's like this weird double-edged sword to where it's like either you're asking me all these questions because it doesn't seem like you really want to know. You seem like more like confirmation bias. Mm. Like you just want me to answer to see like if you're right in what the assumption was you made.
Yeah.
Or it's like you just not asking me and you're still making an assumption.
Right. They're just going off the perceptions of how you show up.
And that's where I think like when I think of traumatic things, I think of more like these little things than like the big
events
that have happened in my life.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that's a really interesting thing. I guess I try not to classify, given what I experienced as a young person, I try not to classify anything in my adult life as traumatic. I'm like, you've had enough. Let's stop.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I think this kind of like falling apart of the community that I had, I realized that it was actually more traumatic than I wanted to admit. But I'm curious, can you just explain a little bit more what you mean by the little things are traumatic? Like, give me an example.
Let's think. Oh, that was fun. No, I'm gonna save that for another moment in life. Today's Tuesday? Mm-hmm. So Sunday, I went walking around, went to the beach, came back, and then I was going to this cafe and saw someone like neighbor or someone that just goes to the cafe a lot. And it was a group of women. One of them, I would like go to Pilates and I would see them. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of became like this.
Wait, you do Pilates?
That's my shit.
Okay.
I am with
whole
it.
Episode on that next.
I am like, I gotta find another place. I saw this one place that got like a special. I was like, oh, that price is hidden. I might have to holler at you.
I love it.
And I live on the west side, the affluent area. I'm definitely like I've only like seen like 6 black people. And I just love near being in the water. Mm-hmm. I'm just blabbling. We get there and they're like sitting down. And I remember before the lockdown of the pandemic, when I would go, I would be the only dude with these women. And that's never like a weird thing to me. I'm used to being raised by women and like I just feel more comfortable interacting with women. Mm-hmm. It nothing remotely about it is like sexual or attractive. It's like, nah, right. Like I can just feel a bit, the emotional intelligence that women just have just works best for me.
Yeah. I've met a handful of men throughout my life who've been similar.
So I see them and I haven't seen them in a while. And it was just, I'm like, oh shit. They were like, hey. And I just wasn't in the mood to really talk to anybody. I was just like, God damn it. Like, I do not want to do this, but all right, let me get it. And I'm at the register and I'm getting ready to get my matcha. And I go to this cafe all the time. I need a routine. I need a habit. So they're like, we're just going to give you the thing. So one of the women, she like gets up and she's like, got ready to pay for it. And I was like, girl, like, I'm not paying for it. So like, we good. And it was just the tiniest thing. And I know she meant nothing about it. She was just like, oh my God, you're just so weird like that. Everyone just will love you. And I know it was like the vulnerable emotional state.
Yeah.
And even saying it out loud, I've like had to like consciously be like, it don't matter if somebody's like, that ain't traumatic. I'm like, fuck you. If it was to me, it was.
Yeah.
But it was just something as tiny as that to where it was just like, what the fuck about me is weird right now? That like what? Like, huh? But I know that came from being called that so much.
Yeah.
And being called that along with there not being a why are you like that? And then learning like I'm autistic and all the clarity that's given me. I'm like, you fuckers were just nagging this thing about me. And y'all realized that there was something different about me. And no one was willing to be like, hey, let's try and like help them figure it out.
Yeah.
And so like, those are the things where I think about it. Just like, it's the little things that for me, I know my experience and now having more understanding about me and how my mind works.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, it's just those little things that people would say or they would do. Like having ADHD, I can have very hyperactive moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people who saw me last year that didn't really know me, I was out.
Yeah.
It was like, I was fucking manic. I was so hyperactive.
Mm.
And someone recently, they were like, man, you know, I wanted to just ask you if it was cool, but like, I didn't want to say anything. And I'm like, yo.
Why didn't you ask? Well, that's, oh
like,
God.
That's the whole point. We look
I mean,
out like,
but
so that's what I mean. It's like, it's those little things, because I feel, be it through media or whatever it might be, those bigger traumatic things. And I knew where I grew up. I knew how I grew up. I had the music and everything around me to also paint the picture. So it wasn't hard for me to process violence.
Right.
It was like, oh, okay. And I understand the therapist was like, yo, that's traumatic. Like, you shouldn't have seen those. I'm like, hey, whether I should or shouldn't, that's beside the point to me.
Right.
Like, I did.
Right.
And I was prepared for that more than, your brain doesn't
work. The character attacks.
Yeah. Like, your brain doesn't work like everyone
attacks.
Else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the challenge.
I think is interesting because you fortified yourself internally for these external, like very physical, unsafe things. But I wonder, this is my armchair psychology. We need like a little, like a little jingle thing.
Oh, we can get that. We can make it happen.
Armchair psychology. I wonder if to kind of how you opened around the safe space being within you, if that part of you that gets triggered when you hear or that trauma is present when people say those things, if that's like the, I don't know, you tell me, like, do you think that's the like work that still needs to happen is like nurturing that part of you inside so that if someone says that, you know that it doesn't bother you because it's about their ignorance and not being weird.
That definitely is it.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely the goal or the root, or because I am getting more and more okay with knowing that like I don't really have middle grounds.
Yeah.
But in the sense not of like thoughts or agreeing with things, just more of like how my energy shifts.
Mm.
I'm either on or I'm off.
Oh, interesting.
And understanding that like, okay, I can build these things in. Like I can build what looks like a middle ground to me.
Yeah.
And that's been with what I would say, what I've been going through recently is I've had two people in two different ways say a similar thing. Well, two people say a thing that seems the same, but they mean it two drastically different ways. Like one person said that I reminded them of their dad, and that wasn't a positive thing.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And that was a thing, like hearing that, that was the thing that helped me in that moment go like, oh, there's some stuff that like this individual has to work
That's
through.
Their pain.
To yeah. I was like, whoa, like, that's, yo.
That's all of their pain being projected onto you.
And it was a thing that became, I remember like grabbing my journal. And if I don't like don't write something, I'll do like a voice memo and like going to moments and things and then listening to them and being going like, oh, okay, yeah, this is how you were intending to show up. This is how you worked. This is what you thought you, like you were going for. So like, okay, cool. Even if it didn't land that way, you know your intent or your aim was not what this is being said it is to them. Like, hey, that sucks. That's shitty that it's like that. But like, yo, you just got to figure out how to just be cool with that.
Yeah.
But then I realized that like it's a character thing to me. It felt like this character attack of like, oh, so I was like, okay. Then another person recently said that to me and they're like, yo, you remind me of my dad so much. And they meant it in like the most loving way. And it was like they were going through a tough time. And I'm a big believer, if you need me to show up a certain way, you got to tell me.
Yeah.
I ain't reading your mind.
We all need that. No one should be a mind reader.
I'm like, you call me and look, V, I just need you to listen. All right, bet.
Yeah.
Hey, I need you to listen and maybe chime in if you want to. Cool. Like, yeah. Know what? I need you to just yell with me. Yeah. I'm there. Like, I'm not going to read your mind. And seeing, having those two gifts of the same thing or like the same person, this symbol of that should be of protection and love and things like that, and having it be so polar opposite, that's helped me go like, okay, I'm getting better and better at understanding that part.
That's dope.
That like character thing, because I get through how I was raised, like that's all you got.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's, there's a lot there that I want to respond to. I think that one, the idea of finding middle ground is, I think that's the goal. So I saw this thing the other day that said healing is the capacity to hold pain. And I think about that. I thought about it a lot because like after all the nonsense of the last year, not just the relationship, but the multiple relationships that were lost, I went and I got this tattoo of a sun and a moon to remind myself that the ability to carry light and dark or joy and pain at the same time, I think is the only constant that we have. Like,
damn,
you writing a letter to yourself to say you're gonna feel pain, yes, and you're gonna feel a lot of love,
yeah,
yep. And can you be okay with both of those? They won't always be in balance of 50-50.
Yeah,
there will be times where the sun is up and you are in the northern hemisphere, and then there will be times where you are you are in Australia at the same time and it will be pitch black.
Yeah.
And can we move through life riding those waves and knowing that like darkness doesn't last forever, but neither does daylight.
That's true.
So it's like, can we be comfortable with the neutral place, with the middle ground? And I think that's a goal. I don't know that that's like possible because you're always going to have highs and lows. But as, I guess it's like if you think of a chart and the waves go really high and really low and really high, I just want to be a little closer to the middle.
See,
and like have shorter waves.
See, I can probably, I don't know. I'm like, do you want big ones? Like, ooh, I'm up there, because.
Only if they're healthy. Like if they're, like, you know, like it's the the effective dependency that we talked about in the last episode. That to me, if I reach effective dependency, can that give me as much joy as the trauma bonds that I've had with men in the past?
I think, yeah. Because to me, I just think that be it patriarchy, be it evilness, be it whatever you want to call it, that shit just had the illest marketing plan of all time. Like the marketing behind this shit is great.
Wait, which shit? What were you talking about?
Like
the happiness is the only thing you should feel ever.
Yeah. Just like this shit is just so.
Disneyland should be your life every day.
It's like, it's so good. I'm like, well, shit, I don't see. I know some legitimate billionaires and I got text messages where they not feeling happy.
Ditto.
And you would look and be like, but you ain't got shit to be like tripping. But then they're like, man, my son don't like me. And I'm like.
Because that's actually real life.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that what you get fed, what I've been fed or what I've been told to strive for. It's this thing where I'm like, oh, hell nah. Someone I know, and I actually text him about this, like, yo, doing this thing, talking about like trauma and pain. And for as long as I've known him, the only thing I've ever heard this man say he wants to do is be a farmer.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I mean, like, I cannot think of any other
time. I love
time
that so much.
I have ever so heard him be like, I want to be a ball player. Nothing.
He's what, like, stopped him?
It didn't. He is.
Yeah.
Like, he is a farmer.
Wow.
He's got land in like a few different places.
Beautiful.
And I was talking to him. And
God, that's amazing.
It's probably, now that I think about it, like, we don't talk off like all the time or often. But it's probably like the healthiest relationship I think I have in my life.
I love it. I love it. I love him. Really, I love that he's living his dream.
It's so fascinating. Like, yeah. And I always forget what part of Cali it is. Some town I can never remember the name of. But
where his farm is?
Yeah. Where like some of the land is. But we were talking and I was asking him, I was like, yo, what do you think about that? Because when I think of him, I just always think of like someone's content.
Yes. Oh, that's the word.
It was like this dude who just like figured it out like mad early.
Yes.
And I know his upbringing, only just because we grew up together, it wasn't like the easiest or anything like that. And we were talking about trauma and pain. And he said that when he went in the garden with his grandma, it was the first time he felt like his pain created something.
Beautiful.
And he was like,
literally was giving birth.
Yeah, he was like, yo, I remember like at first I used to be nowhere. I got like yank these weeds out. And then he said like when he would get in trouble, he would just go to the yard and just like pull out the weeds. And I asked him, so this is cool. I was like, I asked him if it was okay to share it. And he he's like, just don't say my name. I'm like, duh, like, I got you. But
but his IG handle is.
Like, he said this thing to where he started realizing, and he started just, no, he didn't say realizing. He was like, I started just imagining that every time I pulled out the weeds, it was me like pulling out less abuse from my dad.
Ooh, I just got goosebumps.
And I was just like, look at when he said it, I legitimately just like sat down. I just stopped and was just like, I have never heard someone just, and he said it just so matter of factly.
Yeah.
And then he said, when I would then plant something, it was me pouring this love into myself.
Yeah.
And I used to name the plants.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like, so it became this thing to where I figured out this like relationship that I can have that was love. And I'm not going to let these weeds mess up like my family over here.
Yeah.
And he took that and just kept going on with it.
I get it. It's creation.
It made perfect sense to me. And I'm like, I completely understand you now.
I'll just tell a story. And I told you how I was with some friends last week and they had me make a stamp, like literally take a block of rubber, carve an image into it, put ink on that rubber image that was now on the stamp, and then stamp a card. And now I have these two cards that have a hummingbird stamped on them that I, you know, can send to people. And it seemed like such a basic exercise, like, let's go do arts and crafts.
Yeah.
But I'm still a week later in awe that I made that.
Yeah.
To the point where I ordered all the supplies to make another one, because there was something so satisfying after a day of work, just sitting down and carving with my hands this hummingbird into a block of rubber and then making something that I could give to someone else. And I don't know, I feel like sometimes it gets boiled down to this idea that like art is the answer for everything sometimes. I think it's bigger than art. I think it's anything that is an expression. That's a creation born from inside
you. That's what I think art is.
It is. But I was saying, it's not always, I mean, we could say that gardening is art because, you know, it is. I feel like sometimes there's a pressure on the word art.
Yes, I can understand that. When I think of it in the context of like, especially with like trauma or pain or healing and things like that, I personally think, I call it art OS. Like, I think art is the operating system for humans.
Oh, interesting.
I personally think that is the only thing that humans are meant to do is make art.
Got it. I use the term creation. I think we're supposed to create.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't, whatever your religious beliefs are, I've said it a billion times, is I haven't read any like holy sacred text that starts with creation and it's like industrial revolution. It's like, nah, they building making paradises.
Oh, hilarious.
It's beaches, it's beautiful fruits and flowers and stuff. It's not like cubicle assembly line.
Yes.
Like, no, this is not what it was intended to be.
Oh my God, that
be.
Is the best thing I've ever heard.
Like, you can look at like,
none of it has to do with
nothing. It ain't got nothing to do
with the assembly line.
With like, I don't know, coal mining or something. Like, it got nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing to where I just see like all these things are greed. And it boils down to me the most is like trauma and pain are man-made things.
You think so?
I think pain is just like, yeah, that's like a little thing. I think maybe a better way of explaining, I think trauma and pain at the scale in which that it is happening is man-made.
Got it. Yeah, because I think pain is part of the human experience. I think it's a necessary part of the human experience. I do think, yeah, I agree that the scale.
Yeah, the scale
and
it
the
is.
Depths, it's like on both ends. It's the scale of it, it's expanding, and the depth of it that we're all feeling.
Yeah,
because
it's everywhere.
Man-made.
It's those things that just make me think a lot about my words. I think words are just so powerful.
Oh yeah, they're the most powerful tool there is to
yeah
create either pain or love.
When I think people like actually speak loud in words, I'm like, I don't really understand what you're saying, but like, you know, you just have to say that statement. You have to use words to get it out
to say it. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, they need to actually align is what they need to do.
Yeah.
Words and actions need to align. It's funny, I mean, talking about pain, I was having this conversation last night with someone and I said the same thing. I was like, it hurts me when people say one thing and do another. It causes me a lot of pain. And maybe that's a trauma response because, you know, I grew up in a very conservative Indian household, mm-hmm, where the idea of God, you know, being there to protect me from all things was the story I was told. So that if I felt pain, it wasn't about talking about it. It was just have faith in God. God's will.
Yo,
we got to do that, right? And
yo,
so God didn't really hold up his end of the bargain like, based on what I was told. I think, you know, there are other bargains
it's
that
like,
I just,
hold on.
I think I was just sold the wrong story.
Did I come to the right meeting?
I walked in the wrong church basement.
Yeah, like, wait, hold on. Yeah. I just saw what this said and it ain't looking like what's really happening.
I guess kind of like your, you know, your story about the matcha in the coffee shop. I get very re-traumatized or triggered when people say one thing and do another because I believe what people say. Words are powerful, right? So I
yeah
should be able to take you at your word. And if you say you are this kind of person, if you don't show up as that, you should be able to own that.
Now, would you say like there's like a scale or there's levels to that? Because like
yeah,
I know me. I know that I will have every intention of doing this thing and for whatever reason, someone will come up and I will forget it's happening.
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking like past relationship. There were a couple times like, oh, I'm gonna go do this thing for the dogs. And for whatever reason, I just forgot.
Yeah.
And that's a thing that like I try and like be aware of. Like, shit,
I've had to learn. Yeah, I've definitely had to learn.
Yeah,
it's a thing. To like not take every little thing as an attack on me. And that's the inner work, right? Like,
mm-hmm,
that's the self-soothing of like, I have to realize that some shit's just human. That's shit. And it's
yeah
fine. You're not, because you don't do the thing that you say. And it's
like, ah,
yeah,
there's some shit I just like, I ain't budging on. Like,
right,
if you like, oh, I'm this type of person. And then we get into that situation and
yes
you move, like, oh, we done, homie.
Yeah.
There are just certain things that I'm just like, nah, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, pain and trauma is, it's a big topic. I don't know. What do we want people to take away from all this? I love how this was like the biggest topic ever. And we're just like, I don't know. Here's some thoughts.
For me, I think it's that. I think it is just that, to me, it keeps boiling down to working and like making that decision every day to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then also tell people.
Mm.
Just tell people.
What you're feeling, what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Pain.
Yeah, like ask him, like, yo, do you have a space, the capacity right now for me to share?
Mm-hmm.
The how are you? That's a thing. Like, I don't ask people that much. Because I'm just like, one, I might not want to know. Like,
yeah.
I will ask you what I want to know. Like, I went to the office recently and I saw someone and I was like, yo, you got a bunch of meetings today? And they kind of like stopped for a second and they were like, yeah, I do. Like, yeah, how are you? And then I was like, do you have the space for that right now? And they were like, honestly, no. I'm like, look at, we've had like enough one-on-one conversations to where like I've told you, like, don't ask me if you like aren't going to actually be ready for that.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. So you were asking because you wanted to make sure before you answered honestly that they had the emotional space to take the honest answer of how you
Feel. Yeah. Because I was like, at that point in time, I was like, I am overwhelmed. Like, it is so much shit going on in here. People keep saying hi. Like, none of this bad, but like, it's distracting me.
Yeah.
I don't like being around a lot of people. Like, this is a lot for me right now. And I got a whole world of personal stuff happening.
Yeah.
So I knew, like, this is, you don't really want to know this.
Yeah.
And I think maybe like a couple weeks after that, they were like, yo, when I got in the car after like leaving the office, I realized that you asked me as like your welcoming question, like, do you have a lot of meetings today? And they're like, why?
So you asked him that before he even said, how are you?
Yeah. And he was like, why did you say that? I was like, well, that's just what I wanted to know. Like, I didn't want to know. I didn't want to ask you how you were because I did not have the space for you to tell me, even if you're going to just be like, good.
Oh, I see. It was you didn't have the space.
We both did.
We both. And you wanted to make sure that.
Because, like, I'm not going to ask you that question. Like,
that's incredible.
I'm just going to ask you, yo, what you do yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, you watched the game? We're like, I'm going to ask you what I feel like I can handle.
Yeah.
Because I cannot stand how are you when I know good and goddamn well. You ain't really trying to know how I'm doing right now. You're just doing the societal typical thing.
Yeah.
And so I can have anyone take anything, especially like their pain and trauma, is just really figuring out like, what does that stem from?
Yeah.
And like, how do you feel is presently showing up for you? Because I think for me, I did so much of how it hurt me in the past and didn't really try to figure out how it was affecting me in that like current. And so that's something I think I really, really would encourage anyone to do is like figure out how it's showing up for you right now, how it shows up for you when you're in the office and things like that. Because I think people also, for some real reason, think they can separate their work and personal life. I'm like, you can't.
Fake news. Fake
One,
news.
You can't. And then two, you spend more time with these people than your own like actual 100%, loved ones. So
100%.
You might want to really investigate and figure out how you can navigate those spaces and environments, because they're, for the most part, and this is a generalizing statement, they're not welcoming. They're not especially emotionally welcoming. Like, no, it's the Hunger Games out here, y'all.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I think you started with what probably my answer is said differently. Love yourself enough to face the pain inside of you and the darkness and the shadows, whatever you want to call it. But love yourself enough to do that. Know that there's nothing to be ashamed of, like you said. You know, whatever happened to you or whatever you may have done, facing it is actually the first step to like allowing it to go move through you.
That's a good point.
It's like a 12-step program. You have to first admit that you're an alcoholic to be able to go through the rest of the program. So it's like the first step is just saying, yeah, I did this, or yeah, this happened to me and I don't want to be judged for it. I also have realized my privilege in having such great access to great therapists. Like, I just recommended a former therapist of mine to a really good friend, and she called me and she was like, oh my God, I got more from her in one session than I had in my like years of sessions with my existing therapist.
I'm glad they got that. Hell,
and I was
like,
damn, I realize. And then I look at, you know, people I really love who struggle, and I'm like, damn, I hope, I really hope that the person they're talking to is a safe place for them to face this shit.
I think one safe place to face it, but also that like they are going to do it. Because I have definitely told some folks or like suggested some folks, and then they've like shared with me talking there. I'm like, damn, you're not doing it.
Right. You only get out of, and I think we'll chat about this more in the healing Rolodex episode, whatever we're going to call it. You only get out of these things what you're willing to put into it. So yeah. Like, the idea of healing your pain, you can't do that until you actually face it.
Yeah.
You can't just sit down at a therapist's office and be like, I'm anxious. And then if you're not, to your point, if you're not willing to say, here are the things that I've experienced in my life, can you help me understand where it's coming? You may not know. Like, there's a lot of things that I've learned in the last couple of years that I'm like, oh.
That's what that's tied to.
But I was able to sit down in front of a therapist and be like, okay, so here's what happened when I was 8, and here's what happened when I was 12, and da 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 da. And then they helped me put the pieces of that puzzle together. But, you know, it's kind of that idea that, like, connection is critical for survival. And sometimes the connection you need is with a therapist.
Look at it. If I could talk to my girl, I'm like, I wish I could just... I'd be thinking of texting sometimes, like, damn, I just want to just be like, what you up to?
With your therapist? Yeah. I was just saying this the other day. I really want to be friends with her. I'm going to tell her that someday when we're done working together, I want to buy her a glass of wine or
like,
something.
Like, hey, what's up? Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Just go to therapy, y'all.
Something. We'll give you some more tips and tricks on a couple episodes.
I think everyone should just like, hey, now the majority of folks have some type of smart device around them. Yeah. Like, you feeling it, even traumatic or whatever it might be, say it out loud.
Write it down.
Yeah, that helps tremendously.
Yeah.
That's something like I am working to get better at. I will also say the other thing I would love for people to be aware of, the takeaway is that when you connect like traumatic things that have happened to you to like others or like another situation, it doesn't have to stay that way. And I had to confront that with like horror films. Horror films to me is like never that I was like afraid of watching them.
Yeah.
But I had a traumatic experience where I got forced to watch a horror film in a room by myself. I was no older than like 8.
Yeah.
And it was loud and it was a very traumatic thing for me. It was just like, it wasn't the horror film that like now I realize was a traumatic thing. It was the fact that like it was people that I thought cared and would protect me doing this thing. Like, I saw the, what I will say, like evilness in their eyes. Like, oh, we gonna do this thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And it wasn't until I watched whatever the last Halloween movie was that I like legit like sat down. I was like, you're going to watch this because you know you're not afraid of this thing. Like, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember maybe 10 minutes in, I started sweating. I started getting furious.
Yeah.
And it felt like I turned back into that kid.
Yeah.
And luckily my dog was there and he looked at me like, what the hell is going on with you? And I looked at him because he came closer like, wait, okay, let me get on you.
Yeah.
And I kind of like snapped at him like, move. And I looked and he's like, yo, homie.
What did I do?
Yeah. And I realized like, oh my God, that's what it is. Like, watched it and I'm like, I just don't like these things because they're too hard.
They're terrible.
For me.
I hate them.
I can't suspend that much disbelief.
But yeah.
Thing, that was the thing that stuck with me. And a friend shared something not too many days ago. And I was like, yo, you know, that was that person that did that.
Yeah.
It's not this person now.
Yeah. 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 The projecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were coming from a place of like, they said something to someone and they're like, I know that they weren't doing that. I know that they didn't intend that. And I know that they're not that person. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what happened. I'm like, that's good. You know that now.
Yeah.
So now what it could be, instead of you just like now just cutting them off like you did, it's okay to go back to them. And I'm like, tell them that.
Yeah.
Tell them that experience and let them know. But before I say, hey, I would like to be vulnerable and share something that's emotional and challenging for me, like, is that cool? Can we do that?
Yeah.
And that's something I hope people are able to do, is to see that. Because I think it's a gift for both of you.
Yeah. If the relationship is important to you, 100%. 100%. And I think that's actually what makes you stronger, is when you can go back and take accountability for how you've shown up that may be informed by something that has nothing to do with the person across from you.
Yeah. And I'm extremely proud of that person because I was like, "Ooh, you fucking up on me."
Shout out to that person.
They're like, I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, y'all, we out here. Don't let this trauma
get you. Everyone's trying, you know? It's like, I'll forever say that we'll fuck up and we'll disappoint, but all you can do is keep trying. And yeah, love yourself. Give yourself grace for messing up.
Give yourself grace.
Don't let pain and guilt eat you alive. Because at some point, if someone doesn't want to forgive you, that's on them at some point. Your healing can only take you so far.
Yep.
With other people at least. You're limitless with yourself.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, always the balance of self and other. So.
Boom.
Boom.
There y'all go, folks. Y'all have a good one.
Till next time.